Senator Jeff Wilson is going to be joining us here momentarily. As you know, the state legislature is in session. Senator Wilson's been working on a number of bills on our behalf, by the way, bills that are moving through the legislature. And we've talked about this process with some of the other legislators, by the way, that you have to put together basically a bipartisan coalition in this Democrat-controlled legislature to be successful to move legislation through the process. So, of course, Senator Wilson is working on a number of bills that are important to our district. They have to be heard before a committee. The committee has to take an executive action, move those out to, in his case, the Senate Rules Committee and the Senate floor, where then they can vote on those bills and move those on to the opposite body. Senator Wilson, thank you again for joining us here on Town Hall.
Well, thank you, Mike, for having me on this beautiful day today.
Well, Senator Wilson, we appreciate you keeping us informed with what's happening there in Olympia. I understand that you did realize some success with Senate Bill 5023. This is concerning improving roadside safety measures. You've been championing this bill now for quite some time, and you did realize some success on the Senate floor yesterday. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, it was a result of a tragedy that we all suffered as a community back in April of 2021 when we lost the lives of Arthur Anderson, some civilians, and then shortly thereafter, Raymond Mitchell.
Now, this bill is critically important because it allows the tow trucks to use the blue lights, as I understand. So it changes up the lights, allows them to use them. Also allows them to change the way they use their red lights at the scene of an accident, and even possibly just as important, requires drivers, and it seems so obvious, but it will require drivers to reduce their speed, like slow down when you're approaching an emergency or work zone, and to move over.
Absolutely. You know, the move over, slow down law is already on the books, and so this was a chance to remind everybody of what we need to do when we approach emergency zones along our roadways. And naturally, Mike, when somebody sees the combination of red and blue lights, the instinct is, well, just begin to slow down anyway and to move over when it's safe. And as I've mentioned, it, you know, the professional tow truck operators that keep our roads clear, just last night with all of the snow and inclement weather, we rely on these people every day to somewhat rescue us. And we do need to make this a safer work environment, as it is one of the most deadliest occupations in the United States.
And so it is critically important. Not only, of course, it has a regional significance for us here in Southwest Washington, with so many of the accidents that we've seen over the years, but it's a matter of a statewide policy. So thank you, Senator Wilson, for addressing this. We know as you took some action in the first session trying to get some improvements made, but you've shown it really takes a lot of effort to move a bill through the legislature.
Absolutely, Mike. And regardless of whether you're in the minority or the majority, the speed of government is nothing to get excited about. And sometimes you must remain, you know, very persistent, and I'm really proud that we finally got this across the finish line in the Senate. But as you know, we still have to clear the House, and off to the governor a bill will go. But I think it's a way that we can all improve safety a little bit more on our roadways. After all, we've set a record with the highest number of traffic fatalities last year on our Washington roadways at 745 people, which is an all-time high, at least since we've been keeping numbers for over 20 years.
Well, Senator Wilson, we appreciate you working on this issue. There's another bill just as serious in nature, addressing the lack of housing inventory. Everyone has been concerned about affordable housing, of course. And one suggestion by those who are in planning and building is trying to find a way to construct smaller units of housing, smaller homes, in a way that's expedited, in a way that still meets the planning and building codes and requirements, but that can be done quickly. And so you've sponsored a bill, Senate Bill 5657, which relates to permitting kit homes. And this is a bill that's got some traction. So congratulations, Senator Wilson. You're beginning to move that through the process. Senate Bill 5657 was a bill that you just introduced this session, and people are responding to this idea.
Absolutely. You know, I think that when you declare something a crisis, and I've heard nobody dispute, really, that we have a housing crisis, but you break it down to, is it affordable or not, housing? And that's something that creates the crisis. A kid home is not a new idea. However, it now is introduced to the Senate that says we got to put this on the list of options for people to house themselves. And kid homes are very simplistic. They're built using code materials. They're factory built, but they're not factory assembled. And you can have a contractor assemble them in the field, or you could do it yourself. The option here, though, is to provide something that is truly affordable, not necessarily for everybody, but in a way, Henry Ford will be proud, Mike, because this is a mass production type for a problem that we need a lot of houses built in all shapes and sizes, but this one is simply affordable. I'm really proud that it's getting the traction it deserves. It's certainly going to be a choice, but imagine owning a home and something that's a little bit more different than, say, a tiny home village. These are kit homes that not only can be used as a primary residence, but, Mike, they're also for an accessory dwelling unit, you know, for that mother-in-law that you want to house out back.
Now, I understand, Senator Wilson, that you've been working on this issue of kit homes, and the bills that have come before committee, there are multiple different versions of this suggestion. Now, while your bill may not be the one that gets passed through the legislature and signed into law, you're working with others to find a solution to this issue. And so there may be another bill that gets passed by the legislature very similar to yours.
You know, Mike, the person that needs the credit for it doesn't need to bother on the effort. We know we have a problem. I'm willing to yield to a better bill, something that will be more productive for, you know, our constituents. And we do a lot of crossing of the aisle. I'm fortunate to have this opportunity to get at least on the table, to get the bill introduced, and to move it forward. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we'll get it to the floor soon. And then we can finish it up from there and send it off to the House.
So there's another example of this, is that you've been working to propose legislation to address the catalytic converter thefts that we've been experiencing in our communities. And there are other variations of this bill as well.
Actually, there's only similar parts when it comes to funding. I'm the only one that has a specific bill that would increase the penalties and actually start demanding accountability for those people that want to buy and sell catalytic converters illegally. You know, Mike, the online marketplace and social media has been a breeding ground for people to, well, peddle catalytic converters, and there's not a whole lot law enforcement can do about that. For those that advertise and will meet up in local parking lots and buy and sell catalytic converters, the problem is most of those converters aren't theirs. They're taken from somebody else. So my bill is the first of a kind that demands that only licensed entities like scrap metal dealers and auto wreckers can buy and sell used catalytic converters, and you're going to have a license to do that, and you're going to have to display the license.
We have to find a way to deter these thieves and those who are profiting from that. On the line with State Senator Jeff Wilson. Senator Wilson, thanks so much for calling in today. We appreciate you joining the program.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
So the legislative session is moving right along. You've had some success in the Senate, passing unanimously, by the way, the bill that you're working on to improve roadside safety for tow truck operators and for those around those accidents. So thank you for the work on that. Just kind of remind listeners, the process is once it passes the Senate, as it's done now it goes to the other body, to the House. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And there'll be a lot of chance to amend, to pass. The strategy is really only a part of the way done. But ultimately, we're hoping that that bill and many more that I've put out this year will pass and come back in favor and then get forwarded off to the governor for signing.
And so this bill, when you were working it, you actually went and testified before the Senate Transportation Committee and actually pitched the idea and shared that with the committee members and testified. What's it look like for you and your efforts on this bill when it goes over to the House?
Well, Mike, I'm quite confident. In fact, just today, the Senate Transportation Committee unanimously sent out another one of my bills on the Wakayakum Ferry. So as we move these bills forward, I have a total of 23 bills that I have produced this year. Most of those have gotten a hearing, and about a high number of those I'm expecting to get to the floor. Then, like you said, then we can get the process going over to the House and on the way to the governor.
And then in the House, do you just let it go like a child on a bicycle, or do you actually hold their hand as it goes through the House side?
Well, you definitely need to follow your bill regardless of where it goes, because there's always that moment that somebody could insert something through an amendment or a striker, some form of rule that would allow them to modify your bill, and you'd have to be aware of that. And I follow my bills through to the other side, the other House, is to be available for questions and never to, you know, get too far away from the intent, the good of the bill, as I'll call it.
As it is now, since he had mentioned it, Senate Bill 5750 relates to the operating and maintenance deficits of the Wakayakum County Ferry. Now, I've had a chance to ride the ferry across, and many rely on the ferry for transportation to work and what have you. But as it is now, WashDOT may reimburse up to 80% of the operation and maintenance of the ferry service, I understand. And the proposal is to increase that reimbursement rate. Is that right?
Absolutely. And that passed, like I say, unanimously out of committee today. And it's to increase the reimbursement for the operating and the maintenance expenses. As you said, that ferry, known as the Oscar B, this is a critical lifeline to our community, Mike. And even this summer, the entire Longview, Kelso, Calhoun County, Rainier, the Longview-Rainier Bridge is going to shut down for 6 days and six nights this year for construction maintenance that they have planned. That alone is going to emphasize the importance to always make sure that that ferry is up and running and provides us our access that we need. Even though it's down the street in Calhoun, we need this ferry to be whole, and the community of Wakayakum County do not have to dip into their reserves from their road account just to keep the maintenance up on the ferry.
Well, this is another one, Senator Wilson. Thank you so much for addressing this important issue. These issues not only are important to us who live here in this community, but people passing through, important for the transportation network. And so your efforts on this are to be commended. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.